It's not about the technology, it is what you do with it. Welcome to Digital Dash. We are excited about the opportunities technology presents in our modern world, and we spend a lot of time tinkering with the use cases. Join us every week on our podcast as we share our findings and break things down into zeros and ones. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app, and enjoy this episode.
One of my favorite moments from Jurassic Park was when Jeff Goldblum's character said, "Your scientists were preoccupied with whether or not they could. They didn't stop to think if they should." This, I think, applies to a lot of science and tech we see today. I pick up my smartphone and I see a lot of features which I begin to believe are entirely unnecessary and were a total waste of time when it comes to R&D. On today's edition of the Digital Dash podcast, I, Salon Donyo, Kwame Naasa, and Nia Kwe Akwe will be looking into smartphone innovations which we believe were a complete waste of time and or unnecessary. So guys, what do you have for us?
Should I even say researching on this was a waste of time? But yeah. Okay, so for this topic, let's look at it in categories, right? So we have here unnecessary features. We have overcomplicated user interfaces, short-lived trends, unreliable technology, and overpriced accessories. So I think once we can get a list of things under these, we can sort of kill the topic then.
All right, so let's go ahead. Our listeners are waiting for us.
Okay, so let's start it off. So under unnecessary features,
I don't know, Samsung. Most of what Samsung has done.
this episode might be very controversial because what we might think is unnecessary, you might be using it. But so yeah, we would like the engagement after you listen to this episode. But I'll start it off and I'll say Samsung with their curved display.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yes, I think it was unnecessary.
Yeah, this is actually controversial because I'm like, how is it unnecessary?
I think the curved display, it came out with, was it the Edge? Not Edge, or was it?
Yeah, I think was it
S6 Edge.
And I asked myself, if it was very necessary, why didn't it continue?
Oh, you mean the... my mind is not loading. I was thinking you were talking about the curved like TVs.
So
completely unnecessary. That's screen real estate that is just like bleeding to the edge.
We did not see it again.
It was just unnecessary.
So under unnecessary features, so I think curved display makes we get a quorum on that.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to attack Samsung again. Store on the show, please.
Samsung, please don't stop inviting us to the event.
Don't stop giving us the goodies. I totally believe the 120Hz, 144Hz.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Screens are not useful. Oh, no, okay. Let me not use the word useful, but I don't think it's beneficial enough technology
on a smartphone.
Yes, let me give you a very good reason. When you are as a PC gamer, you find PC gamers going in for monitors which have high refresh rates,
yes,
144 and above, 250 and stuff. And the reason being is that when you are playing a game like Call of Duty Online, you are playing Counter-Strike, you are playing PUBG, and most of those online games which require or rely on fast reflexes, you want to have a game which has a high refresh rate
to avoid the lags.
Yes, to avoid the lags. You are probably playing a game which has an FPS frame per second rendering of about, let's say, 100 FPS. If you are using a 60Hz screen, you're not going to really benefit or see the juice or the fluidity in the movements. But if you have like a 90Hz screen, you have a 144Hz screen, and you have a machine or a laptop which is powerful enough to run games higher than, let's say, 100 FPS, you clearly see the difference. You notice that the games look very responsive. The games look very fluid. Like, everything goes so fast. The action is very fast-paced, and, like, it keeps your heart beating. But how many smartphone games even run at 60 FPS.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Most of them like are like 30s, are in the 30s. Even videos on smartphones, how many videos do you watch which are like higher than 60 FPS? Apart from Avatar, which recently James Cameron tried to break the trend by having a crazy like refresh rates for the movie. For those who watch it in 3D, if you watch it in standard definition, you will not see it. But if you watch it in 3D, use a high screen refresh rate.
Okay.
Yes. How many videos do you actually watch on your phone which have a high like frame rate?
So I made this argument since I use an Apple device and an Android user was trying to pick on me with this refresh rate, and I think a couple of people have said that once you go high, you can never go down. I've not experienced a high. I use an iPhone 12. Yeah, it still has the
60 Hz.
Yes,
yeah.
It has the 60 Hz. So I've not
60 Hz.
I've not experienced the new refresh rate. But they keep saying, and I think MKBHD has also mentioned.
Once you go up, it's very difficult for you to come down.
I think so, because when I got my phone, which has the 120 Hz, initially I just turned it off because I was like, I want to save battery, right? But later I turned it on, and then I got very much used to it.
When I turned it off again,
I was like, what is this mess? Yeah,
okay. So. Well, on my phone, on my Pixel 5, I had the option to use the 90 Hz mode.
Okay.
Yes, I actually liked it. It was very smooth, very fluid. But to be frank, it's because the three of us here are tech purists.
Yeah.
I take 10 people on the streets and I give them a 60 Hz screen, a 90 Hz screen, they'll not be able to tell the difference.
Yes, that's true.
So I think is that agreed that this is unnecessary tech in a smartphone?
I'll probably disagree.
You probably disagree.
Yeah, for me, I will disagree. Yeah.
Bani,
for this one, I'm on the fence because I haven't gone up.
Pick a side.
I haven't gone up. I'm still on the fence. I'm on 60 Hz, so I don't really know how it feels on the other side of the fence.
On the fence. Yeah. Okay. All right. So what next?
So under unnecessary features, what would you say, Kwamina?
Unnecessary features.
Okay, let me go. Wireless charging.
Wireless charging.
Yes.
You know, I will actually agree with that. I am I'm heavily anti wireless charging.
Yeah, I think that's a solid one. I think it's a solid one because the infrastructure hasn't been developed properly yet.
Yeah.
Because currently I don't think it's every wireless charger that can charge every wireless
device.
Yeah.
Chargeable device currently. And another issue, it's very slow.
It's slow.
They don't have high
speed. It's slow and it's inefficient. It produces a lot of heat. Like all the things that lithium ion hits,
wireless charging does.
And also if you look at the speeds, right? Maybe that's what you are saying, that maybe the tech is not that developed. Phones can charge wirelessly. I think OnePlus and Redmi and Xiaomi are doing 100 watts and stuff charging, but if you come to wireless, you are doing like 15 max, you know. So it's slow, it makes your battery heat up. It's a no for me.
let's come back to the phrase wireless charging. Do you remember I don't know if any of you guys know about the Wardenclyffe Tower, which Nikola Tesla tried to do. So here is what the legend says, that Tesla was able to devise a means to light up bulbs, for example, completely wirelessly. And he intended to expand that technology by building something which we call the Wardenclyffe Tower. So the Wardenclyffe Tower was supposed to be able to transmit electricity wirelessly over long distances to homes and stuff. But his competitors will not
allow
this to happen.
I think that was the downfall of Tesla.
I think he was sabotaged with this idea.
I think you've made us read about it.
He died with this secret. And till today, that technology has not been exactly been replicated.
Yeah.
Wireless charging. The name says wireless charging, but the phone needs to be in a fixed place.
It has to be in contact. It has to be in contact. So where is the
wire? I saw a proof of concept by some company. I've forgotten whether it's Xiaomi or something. Where
yes,
yeah,
it's you actually wireless. Yeah, that's you're just actually in a space. Yeah, you so you have a device sitting space. Somewhere. Mm. You turn it on, and once you enter that space, the device.
Honestly, for me, I don't know the utility that it comes with versus just plugging it into plug it like in a charger. And charging, I don't
yeah,
know.
It's, it feels so, I don't know, cumbersome. And also on the issue of wireless charging, another thing which I think is quote unquote stupid, reverse wireless charging.
Well, oh. I think that one has a little bit of utility sometimes. For example, if
your device is, you have an iPhone, you have an AirPod, you have
yeah.
AirPods.
Yeah, you just want to like quickly juice it up a yes. little. Yeah, yeah. That one, I can allow it.
Doesn't it drain your battery so fast and produce heat and...
It so does, but because the AirPods battery... It does, but because the AirPods, battery is also not very large, exactly. I think it can kind of pass.
It's so more of like a flex to me.
I mean, more of these things are just for show, but I think that maybe just when you need about 5 more minutes or 10 more minutes or something you to just quickly, you know, charge up, then yeah, I can allow
the use
it.
Of it yeah.
But otherwise, I don't think it's even like good, practice to keep you using it. Because just like I discussed on the episode around how I've kept my battery health up until now at 100%, lithium ions don't like getting hot. So maybe that I'll be on the fence about it, but I can understand it.
You can understand it.
Yes.
Okay. Right. So let's look at short-lived trends. Are there any trends that started out so well, but
short-lived? I can talk about the LG G5 modular devices, Project Ara.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Google, really short-lived.
Yeah, Google Project Ara. Yeah. Yeah. So Google and I think LG were basically trying this whole modular thing where maybe year after year, you don't need to necessarily replace your entire phone, but you can just swap out maybe the 12 megapixel camera for a 48 megapixel camera, you know, or for LG where you can add on like clips and other, you know, video and audio enhancing, you know, extensions. But yeah, it was very, very, very short-lived because nobody cared.
Yeah.
Nobody cared about modular phone.
Yeah, people just want to buy a new phone all together, have all the parts being robust. And I think that even based on manufacturing trends, we can tell that there's a lot of value when phones are coming in one rigid, you know, like box. So yeah, that one... people just didn't care about it.
Okay, I also have a gripe with this, which became a trend for a very long time. Not a long time, actually, just a while. Notches.
Ah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Apple came up with the notch, and all of a sudden, every smartphone had a notch up there.
Whether it was useful or not.
Or not. Whether they needed it or not.
Yeah, because you see, the reason why Apple has a notch, and of course, I am not just jumping to the defense of Apple for no reason, is because they need to house the Face ID sensor, which is a dedicated, you know, like facial mapping sensor, the IR sensors and all of that there. The other, you know, devices, even Google's Pixel doesn't have that much, you know, level of security and capabilities that Apple's Face ID has. And so when phones started having that the aesthetic notch. Just to look like an iPhone was just it was a very useless trend.
And the company which came out with it has dissolved it again. And then once again you have smartphone makers doing away with it. Also on the issue of the notch, I actually have a problem with the disappearance of bezels. Why do I say this? So when I use, anytime I use my Google Pixel 3, I still have my Google Pixel 3, even I use a Pixel 5 now as my main driver. I still don't think I've had a better smartphone, a better audio experience on a smartphone. Why am I saying this? Because you have bezels on both ends of the phone, which are fitted with stereo speakers. And anytime I'm using the stereo, like front-facing speakers, especially when I'm watching YouTube or any video, it feels very, you know.
I remember my Nexus 6P. Yes, it was amazing.
I think Apple found a way around it by introducing the notch, right? Because for their stereo speakers, parts... the front-facing area or the notch area has stereo speakers inputted there.
Okay, yeah, but there's no notch.
Yeah, but I think I think I do get Selom's point to an extent, right? Because if you look at the trajectory of, you know, increasing sound quality in smartphones, at the time of the Nexus 6P and the Pixel 1, and the fact that, you know, the sound was literally blowing in your face, it looked like it was very promising. And by now, we were going to have, like, you know,
crazy serious, sound.
sound quality. But because speakers have to be downwards facing, or they have to hide it a little under the display because they are just doing away with bezels, with notches. With bezels. It kind of is a weird trend that started. And I also think that bezels sometimes actually give you some borders and a place to hold and to use, you know, because now if it's all screen, it becomes a little harder to, you know, like, hold and use. I think that the bezels on a device like the iPad Pro is just perfect because it's not too big to get in the way, and it's also not too, like, little for it to look like you're literally just, like, touching and a screen. I think
Apple added a touch to it with their darkening of the edges. It's sort of like an invisible, once you're playing something, you don't realize it has bezels. Okay, so we've done unnecessary features, we've done short-lived trends. Let's look at unreliable technology.
Unreliable technology.
Unreliable tech.
I think what I'm thinking.
How can I think what you're thinking?
I think that about that very one.
what kind of question is that? Unreliable.
Unreliable.
What are you thinking? Let me ask you. What are you thinking?
Unreliable. I don't know why that word makes me remember. Do you remember that gun from SpongeBob called Old Reliable? I think it was Mr. Krabs. Mr. Krabs who had it. Okay. He had a very reliable weapon that has his disposal. I think we've been given a weapon recently by a lot of tech companies which has been touted to be like unreliable, but actually is very unreliable. Smart assistants.
Oh my God, don't even start. Siri. Oh no. Siri is the worst part of my iPhone. Like, you know, I actually have Google Assistant on my iPhone. And iPhone. I use Siri to turn off my lights, play music, and call Google Assistant if I need to do actual work. Because I don't know whether it's with my accent or what, but whenever I'm trying to convert something from CD to dollar, Siri thinks I'm talking about cities.
$2.
Cities. Like, I'm saying cities, and you're like, cities. You know, maybe the accent is not helping. But yeah, Siri is not very reliable for me. Best, it's just open like a web page and to say I'm sending it to your phone. And Google Assistant is.
I think with regards to that, as I said, Google Assistant, the rest don't seem impressive to me at all. Just
Bixby
and Alexa
in the mud.
They just seem to be, you know, keeping up the company's way of keeping up with the Joneses, or like a cash grab, even right down to their search engines. I don't know if anyone ever uses Bing to search for anything.
I used it a couple of times, but I don't know.
I'm used to
Google, so
Google is the only search engine where you get everything on the first page.
Nobody ever goes to.
That's the best place to hide a body.
I mean, if you go to place on Google search, you are desperate.
I am critical.
But talking about Google, smart assistants, I think Siri
is so old, but it's just so dumb.
Okay, what about Apple Maps?
To be honest, I'll defend Apple Maps to the death because you find yourself in the wrong country.
Yeah,
that's how come Apple Maps don't work for you. Yeah. But anywhere else in Europe, in the States, I think Apple Maps really gives Google a run for their money.
Yeah, because I think Apple Maps has what fly over in like developed cities.
Yeah.
And hopefully slowly it's just gonna keep creeping here. And I've also realized that if I look at some of the UI elements and I compare the experience in Apple Maps to Google Maps, it's actually slightly better in Apple Maps.
Apple Maps,
So maybe for our for where we find ourselves for now, you can say Apple Maps is unreliable, but generally,
to be honest, really. Even Google Maps is unreliable sometimes. Yeah, because people
are showing right.
Your destination is on your right, but there's a whole sea next to you.
That one can be attributed to the general, haphazard nature in which buildings are laid out in Ghana.
What I'm trying to talk about my country,
Tantra Hill.
My country, Ghana.
Have you been to this guy's area?
Why are you doxing me on the podcast?
Have you been to Kaswa? I
don't live in Kaswa.
Siri. Yeah, Siri. I will always hate Siri.
Yeah. Okay, so I think smart assistants win it for their unreliable tech.
Except Google Assistant.
Google Assistant. We'll do overpriced accessories now.
Oh my God, everything Apple.
Everything Apple.
HomePod doesn't have to be $99. The big one doesn't have to be $299. The smartwatch doesn't have to be this expensive. Even straps are bloody expensive. Yeah. These things are so overpriced. I mean, I use Apple products, but damn.
I remember they were even selling the wheels for the...
The actual unit.
Everything Apple Mac is just Pro, bloody expensive.
So I think for this one
was going for like $1,000 or so. $99.
No, I think it was $99. It was $699. Oh,
well, $699.
$699 for one. And you had to buy four.
What?
Yes.
No. I need to check.
Was $699 for all four?
Apple $699
for all four.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was $699 for all four.
It was $699 for all four.
It was too expensive.
Overpriced accessory. Wheels.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what that's made of.
It's everything Apple. Apple wins it on this.
Yeah, Apple is overpriced.
But yeah, we'll add a small defense. Once you enter it.
When you look at the value added services, some of it.
Yeah. But you see, here's the thing, right? And I think I mentioned an aspect of this on the episode about tantalum and the blood minerals in our phones. All of these devices are being assembled in places where, it costs little to nothing to hire manpower. It costs these companies who also supply Huawei and Xiaomi and a couple of others,
the same thing. But
if you look at the margins on Apple, it's like four times, five times. So
other companies on
at a point, you realize that you're just paying for the brand.
Exactly.
Of course,
have a deal with the devil or something.
Of course, you are going to be assured of the topmost quality and all of that, but Charlie, let's be fair, most of these other companies that we sometimes laugh at have done a lot in the last couple of years. We still have the perception of them when they started maybe in 2015 or 2014, but they've really, really, really changed a lot.
So with the overpriced accessories, I think Apple wins it. So the last category and we'll talk about is the overcomplicated user interfaces. Do you have any experiences with user interfaces that could have been more simpler to use? They didn't have to do too much for you to experience or to enjoy your device. Do you have any experiences?
Overcomplicated user interfaces. We can talk about when you are on a call and somebody tries to call you on an iPhone. That screen is a nightmare. You have the option to either send to voicemail, decline the call, or end the current call and accept the new one. And oh my God, the visual
is very poor.
Still on that, if someone is calling me on my Android phone, I can just swipe and hide the call and still use my screen. I can still be
no. So what I'm talking about is actually when you are on a call.
On a call,
and somebody is trying to call you, right?
Yeah,
there are options. You can either end your current call and pick up.
I'm coming onto something. Can you still use your iPhone when someone is calling you?
That's been there for a long time.
You can swipe it up.
Very long time.
Easily.
See this man.
So
call me right now.
I get where you're coming from. Initially. Once you get a call on
the
iPhone,
not a present.
Once you get a call on the iPhone, your iPhone becomes useless. You can't really do any other thing.
There's someone you're avoiding. You are in the
first. The person will hold you hostage.
I think they fixed that with 15 or something. iOS 15.
No, 14. 14.
Yeah. iOS 14. Oh, okay, so that's like two generations.
We are good on that level.
We are good on that level.
Yeah.
But if you are on an active call and somebody's calling, it's like, geez, I'm already talking to somebody. How am I supposed to pause and make all of these decisions? Okay. What else can I think about?
I probably should have raised this early on one of the
categories.
No, okay, let me continue. Look, I don't know if this also qualifies for a complicated user interface, but although I think it's not complicated, I have concerns about it, which therefore I deem that this UI feature is probably unnecessary, that is always on displays.
Ooh. Yeah, that one I think I can agree with
you.
I can agree
with
you.
That's
a
UI.
Always on displays, yes. Even though AMOLED screens wouldn't use that much battery power like an LCD screen if you were to employ this technology. I think
why do I want my thing to be always
manufacturers these days are trying to outbid each other and make so much information readily available.
They are trying to keep you on your phone, basically.
And I think it's unnecessary. I also have privacy concerns for it because your phone is displaying information. Some of it might be sensitive. Some of it might be sensitive. And then some of them, as I said, most of these features, like most of these always on displays, have features which are like overly sophisticated.
I remember one of my friends visited and he had the 14 Pro Max. This was before Apple implemented the update to allow it to black out.
Yeah.
And it was so distracting because the phone is literally always on, and I'm working on something and I'm doing something and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe you've got a notification, but it's actually not.
Yeah.
So for me, I think that in terms of productivity, in terms of focus, let the screen be off, right? Yeah. If I really need to check for a notification,
I'll try and put it on.
Tapping it does not take anything from me. So I can tap it and then I'll see whether I have no notifications. When I'm done, I just close it all the way back. The screen is blank. I can concentrate. I can focus. I don't need to burn through battery. There are so many videos on YouTube showing that if you even have always on, your battery actually, you know, like burns faster. So like, what's the point of having it?
On the issue of batteries, although we are discussing on the unnecessary innovation, I believe there's not been enough innovation in the area of battery side of things. As long as I can remember using smartphones, your battery still lasts you at most an entire day.
But I wonder, I don't know whether I would want to talk for the manufacturers, because Samsung tried to push the seams of battery tech and they ended up creating a bomb.
Note 7.
I think they pushed it to like 4,000 milliamp hours or so in such a small case, and they created a very big bomb. So maybe that's why they are a little slow. But yeah, of course, I really think that if we have phones that have 200 megapixel cameras and, you know, 16 gig RAM, then we should also be able to have made some level of impact when it comes to battery, so that we can keep our phones for 3 days.
It's funny that at this point that I'm beginning to remember a lot of things which we didn't mention. So
like what?
Dual camera systems.
Sometimes that's an overkill, not necessarily unnecessary or unreliable. It's an overkill, because I realized that for most of the time, except of course content creators, which this discussion is not for, I'm just using my primary color to just primary camera.
I'm saying this because Google has shown us what is possible with a single camera lens.
Google said we don't need it. Next year they added it.
And I'm saying this because if professional photography is always done on a single lens. Do smartphones every year you see triple? Anytime a new phone comes out, there's so many lenses. You think you're looking at the head of a spider.
So I think another notable mention would be the whole astronomy camera.
Yeah, astrophotography, pixel debited.
Astrophotography.
What's all of that?
There's a sector that will admire that. But the general public, I don't think that's necessary.
It doesn't make
sense. You use it at most. Mm. You use it 1, 2, 3 times.
Yeah. Nightlife, you know, so for like night sight and the rest, I think that's very useful. But those ones are not really,
8K recording.
8K recording, that's also another useless.
It doesn't make sense to me on a smartphone because your eye will never be able
to be able to pick up the difference. Yeah. And the funny thing is that even some of the monitors and devices that we use may not even be able to render it.
To render it in 8K.
So yeah, 8K is also quite an overkill for
A smartphone.
I guess we are talking about a new category, right? Overkill.
Overkill.
8K, multiple camera systems.
16 gig RAM.
Yeah.
I'm going to mention a very, very, very good one.
Mm-hmm.
Lossless audio.
But that's not overkill.
That's not an overkill.
That's great.
Do you know why I think it's overkill?
Okay, anyway, this is a musician, please. Let the musician speak.
Do you know why? I'm saying it's all these things, they sound nice to you because you're a tech enthusiast and then you are into phones and stuff. I'm going to tell you that if I were to take Apple's lossless audio on Apple Music, for example, and I'm to give 10 people, have them listen to that and have them listen to the same song in MP3 quality, 9 out of 10 people will not be able to tell
themselves. I will be the one who can tell.
No, you'll be the one who can tell. I think lossless audio and spatial audio. Fall in the same category because, to be honest, I've felt the difference. I think the average person will also feel that difference.
Especially
if you are using good quality headphones.
Yeah, because I was using
next point.
AirPods Max to listen to music on Spotify and then Apple Music Spatial Audio.
Require certain types of accessories to enjoy. How many people buy these accessories?
You can't say you are going to shoot in 4K and come and use it on a normal TV, 1080p. So once technology is upgrading, you have to upgrade the devices
On the lossless audio, how many people have good quality headphones?
If they get it, I think they'll be able to.
So I guess
Ten CD earpieces at second.
We are not in precise anymore.
Why are 10 CDs again? That's like 40 CDs. So now you. Ghana's economy has changed. But I think
and with those earpieces,
I think like, I can get a point around it being an overkill. That one, maybe I can accept that, but I don't think it's useless.
It's useless, I think
it's overkill. Yes, my point.
Overkill.
okay, guys. I mean, if you listen to us so far, we've been discussing smartphone innovations, which we believe or deem to have been quite unnecessary. These companies just wasted money on R&D. On something which might not benefit them or the end user in the long run. And we've talked about quite a number of them. We believe you also have a few experiences of your own. You can share them with us on social media at digital_sh on Twitter and Instagram. If you are listening to this podcast, you can leave us a review about this episode. You can subscribe to us in your podcast app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, or wherever you consume our content. We like that you've stayed with us till the end of this, and we are sure you're going to enjoy the next episode as much as you did for this one. So, from me, Salon Donyo, Kwamina Arthur, and
the third guy,
the third guy, Nia Kwe, we say peace out. Peace. Catch you.